Cheryl Barnes, you are being given the We Shall Overcome Award by the Washington Peace Center Wednesday evening. I wanted to read you their description. Cheryl K. Barnes is a formerly homeless person who has learned that her experiences are very important in helping other individuals achieve their goals and dreams. She spends many of her hours listening to folks that are living on the streets and sharing her testimony of being a former drug addict and alcoholic who listens to others who told her that she too could obtain hope in life. She serves as a homeless advocate with the Interagency Council on Homelessness, the Coalition on Housing and Homelessness Organization, and the Fair Budget Coalition. She also is an active member of Luther Place Church, serving on the Congregational Council, and is a resident of N Street Village. Well, first of all, Cheryl Barnes, congratulations on this upcoming award.
Thank you so much. I'm truly gratified.
Talk about your life's work. Or maybe let's back up. Where were you born?
I was born in Washington, D.C. It's now called, well, it was called D.C. General Hospital. It was Gallinger's Hospital when I came about in Washington, D.C.
And maybe that could be our jumping off point to some of your work. D.C. General is now housing families.
Yes.
And it's overcrowded.
And I'm displeased in the way that the city waits to the last moment to find adequate housing for families. And my goodness, the children, to be able to, you know, they go to school and then they come home and the home is a shelter. They don't have a playground to play at. They don't have a backyard. They don't have their own room. I'm terribly displeased in how the city doesn't see before things happen. They always see after issues are brought to the table, and that's not the way it should be.
The Homeless Children's Playtime Project, that's one of the shelters that they're in. They're actually at D.C. General providing some services.
I've heard of that. I haven't had a chance to witness it, but I truly am thankful that they're there trying to help the children. But the kids need so much more. And the mothers who are out trying to find work right now, the fathers who have lost their jobs possibly and out trying to make do, find adequate services for their families. Things could be better and can be better.
And yet, Cheryl Barnes, the argument, you'll hear that from Tommy Wells, the chair of the Committee on Human Services. You'll hear that from all the council members. Mm-hmm. But then they seem to make the argument, well, things are not good enough at D.C. General. I think everyone would agree on that. But so let's close the shelter. It just happens to be right by a metro, and let's do the, you know, it'll be luxury condominiums or whatever.
Right.
There's also, is there also a need, imperfect as it may be, for shelters?
There is a need for shelters. You never know what situation is going to happen to you. You could get burned out tonight. You could get sick tonight. And if you don't have any family to fall on or friends to fall back on, you need the need of shelters. There's folks who travel all over the United States and they live from shelter to shelter because they can't afford, they're looking for jobs, just like it was back in the Depression. People are looking, going from state to state looking for work, and they cannot afford to live in an expensive hotel. So they have to stay in shelters from time to time. Shelters are very much always going to be needed, always going to be needed.
On my way up to this interview, it was interesting, I came from the D.C. Council where they passed out of the finance and revenue, you mentioned fancy hotels, legislation for $46 million for a luxury boutique hotel in Adams Morgan. And then on my way up, I biked by Franklin Shelter. And it's ironic, you mentioned that was a shelter that was closed a little more than two years ago.
They should have left Franklin open, point blank. Money doesn't help if it's not meeting the needs of the human. I mean, just to have to say, oh, we have this wonderful place, whoever can afford to come. And then you have thousands of folks that have no decent place to stay. you know, living on the streets is not, I lived on the streets for 35 years in the shelters, on parks, and you know, because of my addiction. And if there wasn't for a place like CC&V, who housed at that time 1,200 people, Mitch saw the need for the human, from the old to the young to the middle age, to be housed, to have a roof over our heads. And it was a shelter. And it helped me get to where I am today. Because as I went through the system, not saying I was using the system, but as I went through the system and needed, when it was snowing like it was last year, I had a shelter to go to where I was adequately helped. Now it's like, to each his own, you're on your own. And that's not the way it should be.
Cheryl Barnes, you mentioned Mitch and CC&V. That's Mitch Schneider and the Center for Creative Nonviolence.
Yes.
Talk about their work.
I stayed in CC&V for 3 years. I was in addiction at the time, but Mitch never judged us. He just kind of asked us sometimes, please don't bring the police to the shelter, because if we lose this, this is all we have. He used to always tell us that. So we always respected the fact and the work that he was doing. He taught a lot of us how to protest. There was a protest up on the hill where they had built some chicken coops. And it was like two of us would be in these chicken coops showing the world that you're warehousing people. We've been on many marches with Mitch. So, you know, sometimes in your lifetime, when somebody in your family might, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never had anybody ask me that. So through my years of being in shelters and on the streets again and being around Mitch, I found my role models. I found Mitch as a very positive role model. I saw Martin Luther King, you know, I was at his march in 63, very positive role model. The Kennedys cared about the, you know, the folks that just didn't have enough to be, you know, solvent in their lifetimes. So I found my role models. And today I can say that I am a positive, non-judgmental human being, and I care about people. I care about rich people. I care about people in poverty. I just wish that there weren't so many folks in poverty today. And again, I feel so heartfelt about the kids. Kids, they deserve so much more.
Right after the census, the front page of the Washington Post stated, and then we haven't really seen this on the front page since, that 43% of African-American children in the District of Columbia are living in poverty.
I believe it.
Cheryl Barnes, tomorrow, Tuesday, the D.C. Council votes on the budget. There's a $188 million budget shortfall for this fiscal year, which already in. There's some $350 million shortfall for next year. A lot of these cuts are falling on human services. Yes. What will be the impact, and what is your message to D.C. Council members?
This budget, I've been through the budget crunch. I went through the budget crunch when Barry was coming back in the office. I was around when the control board, we protested with the control board those years back when the control board had to take over the city because of the budget wasn't adequate for people to live. I'm hoping that I have this belief where this budget crunch is not going to last forever. I heard on the radio today that what's the guy's name who takes care of the federal dollars? Anyway, he said that there's eight and a half million people would be out of
Bernanke.
Yeah. Would be out of work if they don't pass the unemployment benefits. And then he said too that it's going to take 5 to 6 years, possibly 10 years, for people to be back at work and things to be back solving again. How long can we wait?
Talk about your own story, Cheryl Barnes. How did you end up homeless yourself?
At the age of 7, I saw my father beating my mother. And there was really nothing I could do but go and ask a neighbor for some help. And the only reaction I got from her was, oh, that's what married people go through. And at the age of 12, due to peer pressure, I started drinking, you know, drinking wine and smoking pot. My mother died at the age, I was 16 when she passed. I was already a full-fledged addict. And my father, that next year, he sold our house out from under me. I was 16. I couldn't keep the house. And I tried to go around and ask some neighbors, would they buy my childhood home so I'd have some place to stay? He wouldn't sell it. He told me, he said, I don't want the neighbors in my business. He sold to a real estate company. That put me out. I went from neighbor to neighbor. I lived, again, I'm getting high. I went from relative to relative. And I found myself one day just walking away from my childhood neighborhood and just becoming an addict and just existing. Then I started to find folks that were the way I was. I ran into folks who liked getting high. I went and got high with them. I stayed in their apartments. Soon crack came into my life. So at the age of 27, I'm a full-fledged addict with no life, I didn't even know who I was. And when I wind up going to CCMV, Mitch Snyder, he let all of us stay. Again, he never judged us. He put me and 3 other women into our first treatment center. The second treatment center that I was put into after getting clean when I came up here to N Street Village in 1990. These folks between the church and John Steinbeck, the pastor, and Erna, his wife, took 13 of us women. Not 13, I'd say 14. 14 was women, and put us into treatment. The vision of Promise Place, which lies across the street, was something that they wanted to get off the ground really bad because they saw the need of having, after you go through the shelter system, then what? So they came and asked the church. The church members of Luther Place Memorial Church pulled together and put up the money to start building Promise Place. I owe my life to listening. I owe my life to people telling me they see something in me that I don't see in myself. And today, I am a full-fledged, non-alcoholic, non-drug addict. And come January the 1st, I'll be going into 20 years of recovery. And there's people still, not God didn't make bad people. There's people still out here that want to help. But we need to be able to reach them. And I'm just hoping we reach people in time.
Congratulations on 20 years of sobriety. And you've dedicated a lot of your life to attending meetings, speaking out. Can you talk about that work? And I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's the media or whatnot, have the sense that if I speak out once, I'll just say it with a lot of anger, things will move. But the importance of you're on the Interagency Council on Homelessness, meeting after meeting after meeting, speaking out, and just keeping on doing it to make to see some, we'd like big changes, but sometimes it's just small changes.
Right. I was guided into understanding that legislation folks, the city council, the mayor, Eleanor Holmes Norton, the president, have a fit in our lives. But I have no right really to be angry and trying, because we need them. And it's human to be angry, but also I was told that they're just humans with positions, and that if I go and find what their greatest need is, maybe I can find a way to let them know that their greatest need can fit in to our greatest need. And that poverty is a bad thing. You know, poverty is bad. It leads you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. It leads you to not understand about how the city council can help. It would lead you to not to believe in your president, not to believe in Eleanor Holmes Norton. But if you don't go and let these folks know how you feel in a decent manner, two angry people can't make anything good happen. So I've learned that when I go, I say, hello, my name is Cheryl K. Barnes, and I would like for you, if you can, to understand that we need you. It has nothing to do too much with, I wouldn't dare go and say, you know, I voted for you, and if you don't do what we need, I'm not going to vote for you anymore. That would only make the person more angrier. I go and talk to the person, one human to another human, because they are. They're just like the lady told me. She said they're just humans' positions. Find out where you can fit in their work, and try to get them to realize that you need each other. Because what's happening today, it could happen, and we all know it's happening to the richest of the richest.
Marianne Luby passed away just recently, a longtime homeless advocate with the Washington Legal Clinic for the homeless. Any thoughts on her life and her life's work?
I've been knowing Marianne for 30 years. I'm on the board of the Washington Legal Clinic for the Homeless. Marianne, I've just watched her from year to year to year. Snow, sleet, hail, or rain, Marianne would be out there in the parks. That's where I got my leadership, in seeing her not be afraid to sit with somebody on a park bench and try to talk to them. I do outreach all the time. Sometimes folks will tell me, Miss, I don't want to hear it. So I say, God bless you, and I move on, you know. But that can't stop me trying to help one person at a time. Marianne, my heart is going to be truly missed, but her legacy must keep going on.
Cheryl Barnes, I mentioned the number 43% after the census. That's front page of the Washington Post, number of African-American children living in poverty. And that somehow doesn't seem to get mentioned enough. And there's another number which doesn't get discussed nearly enough, and that's the HIV/AIDS rate in the District of Columbia. I think it's 1% that's understood to be a severe and generalized epidemic.
Yes.
And the District of Columbia is at more than 3%.
Right.
And yet we don't talk about this very often.
I think Sunday at our church, our pastor, Pastor Karen Brow, she mentioned in her service about HIV Day, and how we must, all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what color we are, we all must start to pay attention to the fact that maybe 3 out of 5 folks are HIV positive. And we must start letting the legislators know that more needs to be done. Yes, there's money that needs to be put in, you know, to a special pot. There's housing that needs to be put in to a special pot. There's understanding, and there's don't discriminate against somebody just because you don't understand what's happening with them, you know. And my vision for hopefully one day, one person at a time, that we can reach folks with HIV and have, you know, we don't, it's kind of hard when you go in a park. Sometimes those, you know, I've had folks come and tell me in talking that, you know, I'm HIV positive. Does that make a difference the way you feel about me? And I tell them, no, it doesn't, by no means. And I might take, if they let me, grab their hand and hold it, you know, or even give them a hug if they'll allow it. Because it can happen to, you know, it can happen to anybody. But HIV, again, it's like drugs and alcohol, it can harm anybody. And people need to start paying attention to the hardcore things that are happening to folks, because we were once taxpayers. I would love to, and I still do, I let the legislators know, wouldn't you rather have us back as taxpayers than have us just non-existent in your life? You know, pay attention to us. We need you.
Cheryl, I just realized you're getting the We Shall Overcome Award, and you mentioned Martin Luther King earlier. So I thought that's appropriate. Any final thoughts you want to share? And again, congrats on the well-deserved award.
Well, for this award, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, because I didn't know how it sort of came about. And then a few weeks later, I heard that I was, you know, picked to be a potential person, you know, potential awardee of this award. Somebody asked me the other day about a pat on the back. How often do you realize that all the good things you've done, have you given yourself a pat on the back? And I told them, you know, I just do it. I do it because it makes me feel good to be able to see another human being smile because I've said something or helped them get to a certain point. But the lady told me, she said, you deserve a pat on the back, and that's what this award is. Your community has recognized that you deserve a pat on the back. Thank you.
Congrats on your pat on the back, Cheryl Barnes.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.